let's honor him right now in Jesus' name. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours, either online or here in person, we want to let you know that we appreciate your visit, that we appreciate your time, that you have taken time to be with us. Here in the vestibule, in the auditorium, if you're a guest, you can fill out the connection card. If you haven't got one from one of our ushers, you can get one from them or from the kiosk out in the vestibule. And if you will just give us, fill out a few points of information, we have a gift for you to share with you. If you're with us online, you can connect with us through the Bitly link, and we will be sure to let you know how much we appreciate your sharing this time with us. God is so good that we want to share him with whomever we may. In Jesus' name. Giving options, you can give in the offering box here at the kiosk out in the vestibule. You can mail it in. You can go to our website and give there, or you can give through our church app, Church Center, which you can download through the normal channels, Play Store, or whatever you use on your phone. This Friday is all church prayer at 7 o'clock. Praise God. And then please remember Sunday morning, our 11 o'clock service is baby dedication on the 11th, this Sunday. And we will have a couple families that will be dedicating their babies. There's also a new member of our congregation. The Teshes had their baby. Lydia Graceland Tesh was born. Amen. And then also remember Sunday evening men's outdoor service at 6 o'clock at Marvin Renvick's home. Bring a chair and meat to grill. Make sure you get that right so that you grill the right thing. Next Wednesday, September 14th, missionary service. Jesse Thomas, missionary to the Micronesian Islands. Amen. Who knows where the Micronesian Islands are? Glenn Rossing does, because he's the missions coordinator. So, all right. Pastor Roy does, because he just looked it up on his phone, so we know that's true. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. In Jesus' name, we do have a number of needs. We don't always, mention all of the needs that are present in our congregation. We do have a group of people who are involved in care ministry that if you do have a burden for those who are in need, you can connect with the prayer ministry with Sister Peggy Moran or Sister Linda Brown. And you can also connect with the care ministry. Brother and Sister Brunker coordinate that, and you can make yourself available to help people who are in need. Sister Lois does a meal train for those people who are going through hardship and they may need help providing meals. You can contact her for that. So there are opportunities to bear one another's burdens, and you're encouraged to do that in Jesus' name. But let's pray for our service this evening. Let God have his way in this place. Let his anointing be on Pastor Phil Demas as he brings us the word. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your care for us, O Lord, for your long-suffering, for your mercy and your grace, which is always extended toward us. We pray, O God, help us, each of us, O Lord, to be open to the ministry of your word. Let our hearts, O God, also be touched by your presence so that we can carry the burdens of one another in prayer. Let this body, O God, be a healing minister to its own members and to those that we come in contact with. We ask for your blessing on all we do here tonight, especially upon our pastor, Phil Demas, that your anointing would be upon him and that your word would flow through him for our sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Your love is pure. Your love. Just worship him right now. Lord, we thank you for your love, God. Thank you for your love, Jesus, God. Surround us tonight, Lord God, our minds and hearts. Lord, as we go to your word, Lord, speak to us, God. Speak to us, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. 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 You may be seated, but as you're once you're seated, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 8. I want to make mention that that it's someone's birthday today. So, happy birthday, Kevin Brown. Be sure to greet him. You'll enjoy that. No, there's wisdom there, not asking how old, Brother Seidel. young. I think 35, something like that. Close? Okay. Also, you may have seen as you came in, there's two boxes sitting right outside these doors here. And they are boxes of individually wrapped rolls of toilet paper. And there is a note on those boxes that say free. And it's not a joke. They are free. So please take as many or as little as possible. If you decide to not take any, and then in your prayer time later this week, complain to the Lord about how, you know, things are hard and there's no blessings, well, the Lord may bring that back to memory. This is a chance to stock up. Now, I am not suggesting that any youth should take a whole bunch and deposit them on your youth leader's house or the infamous George house that is out in the middle of nowhere that is the scariest house to prank. Remember pink toilets? Freaked us out. I don't know. Remember who was with me. Dog started barking. Man, we dropped that toilet and ran. Like, freaked us. Man, y'all... Sorry, guys, that you don't do pink toilets. It's amazing. It is Kevin's Brown birthday, by the way. I wasn't joking. So, anyways, so feel free, grab some toilet paper. Bless someone if you want to do that. But I did not give you that idea. So please don't blame me. And if your house gets deposited, I apologize. I shouldn't have said anything. But anyways, oops. And if my house, oh, Lord, what am I thinking, man? Glory. I know where you live, Peter, so don't say, oh, yeah. If all of Marshall, like the eight of us that live there, yeah, we'll get each other if that happens. Anyways, let's get serious as best I can. Genesis 8, starting in verse 1, a familiar story talking about Noah and the ark. It said, then God remembered Noah and every living thing. Thank the Lord he remembered Noah. Whole earth is covered in water. I bet Noah was thankful. Anyways, and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the earth rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand, took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the resting place. The resting place. Let's just put our Bibles down and go before the Lord in prayer tonight, asking the Lord to speak to our hearts. We're thankful, God, for your goodness. We're thankful for your love, for your, that we feel in this place, God. Just feel like your arms are wrapping around individuals here tonight. I'm thankful for that, God. Thankful, God, that you are alive and living, and Lord, you care about us, that you want to shed your love upon us. You want to put your arms around us, Lord God. I pray and minister to our hearts and minds tonight. Speak to us, Lord, through your word in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. About 10 years ago or so, probably a little more, I was invited to, Fiona and I were invited to minister up in Thorpe, Wisconsin for a youth rally for the section. And we went up there. Well, Thorpe is toward Eau Claire, if you're not familiar with it, northwest. And it's right above, or as you go across, I forget what highway that is, 10 or something like that. There's a little town called Colby, Wisconsin. Anyone familiar with Colby, Wisconsin? It's where Colby cheese was founded in. And well, that is where my mother's family kind of came out of. She lived in Marshfield during her years, but that's where like the ancient family farm was and all this stuff. And my mother's mom, my grandmother, Grandma Louise, was buried in right outside of Colby, little small tiny cemetery. It happened. We weren't close. I have memories as a child going to a nursing home when we were on deputation. She passed away while we were on the field. My mom went back. So I had never been to the cemetery. Well, my parents at the time were still missionaries, and they had not been back. And this is my mom's mom, very dear to my mom. And so I thought I would do the amazingly awesome, sunny thing, since I was close by, and take flowers to the gravesite. Now, this is nothing. I've been to two cemeteries of family members in my life, my grandma June, and then, well, at that time, now my grandpa as well, but my grandma June, and then that was my second one I've ever been to. So keep that in mind. This is not a tradition that I'm used to, going to, you know, a graveside for a dear loved one. But I was just like, I'm going to do this, and, you know, my mom will appreciate it. It was kind of more so for my mom. So I didn't really think it out, but stopped at a gas station, got some cheap flowers, you know, and went there, and we pull in, and I had contacted my dad, remind me where this was, and he's so good with directions, and my brain thinks the same way. So found it, no problem, and pull in the first entryway, and then it hit me. It's like February. There's like 2 feet of snow on the ground, and she doesn't have a headstone. And my dad was like, take the first entry, and, you know, and then the second row of, it's a small little cemetery, second row of graves, and she's about 3/4 way down. So they had plowed like the gravel road, you know, that I was entered in, and I stop and I look out. I'm like, I just have regular shoes, you know. I'm like, I did not think this through. And so I got out of the van and then stood there, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to find her grave, you know, because it's a ground marker. And I'm like, well, Grandma, sure love you, honor you, and this is for Mom. And I proceeded to set the flowers down on the 3-foot snowbank at the edge of the row, and I left. I always thought, I wonder what the groundskeeper thought in the next spring when they found wilted flowers randomly in the cemetery. But I did my due diligence. Our family laughed, and it's a good time thinking about it. But that is my Grandma Louise's final resting place. Final resting place. When someone passes, we often use the phrase that they have been laid to rest. The phrase, rest in peace, or RIP, it actually comes from Latin as well, but is used when someone is passed. Say, rest in peace, you know. And so we think about the final resting place. We consider where someone is buried as their final resting place here on earth, but there is an eternal resting place as well. It's definitely not in hell. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. And so that's definitely not the eternal resting place that we want to go, but rather our eternal resting place is with God in heaven. We'll read this scripture more later, but there's a phrase that describes heaven, and that's in Hebrews 4, verse 1. I'm just going to read the first portion of this. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, and this is speaking of one day entering into God's rest, into heaven. What a wondrous hope that we have. Someday we will enter God's rest if we listen to his voice throughout this life, obey, serve him. No more pain, no more tears, no more struggles, no more worries, no more heartache, no more fights, no more debates, no more social media, no more news. We'll enter his rest. So that is a wondrous hope that we have. But is that what the Christian life is then? Is it that we accept the struggle down here on earth and simply cling to the hope of heaven? Someday, It's going to be all gone. And there is elements of truth to that, absolutely. However, is that all there is for rest? While this is the eternal resting place, God didn't design life to be one constant struggle with no rest. I didn't say it wasn't designed to have struggles, or there wouldn't be struggles or hardships or circumstances we have to navigate, but it wasn't designed to have no rest. We are to find rest here on earth as well. God laid the foundation with his own example during creation. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Verse 2, I want to read this again, and I've been reading from the New King James Version tonight, but it says, "God ended his work which he had done, and he rested." God then builds this into the life of his chosen people, the nation of Israel, as his law is given to Moses. And this is describing how daily life should be lived, and is clearly outlined in this, beginning with the Ten Commandments. Eight of the Ten Commandments are simple, one-sentence commandments. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't have other gods before me, don't covet, etc., etc. And then there's this one in verses 8 through 11 of Exodus chapter 20. It's like he almost wanted to emphasize it for some reason and describe it a little more. 8 through 11, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." But he didn't stop there. He said, "6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God was saying, just like I rested after creating the heavens and the earth, folks, you need to rest. This is so vitally important. So important that some pretty severe consequences were put on violating this commandment, this instruction. Exodus 32, this is just crazy. There were similar things for killing someone and you know, all this other stuff, and that makes sense in our minds. But, okay, you decided to go out and do a little extra yard work, prune those plants, you know, on the Sabbath day. And what does God say? Like, you really shouldn't. No, listen to this. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you." This is something very vital God is talking about. "Throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Anyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death." I was just pruning the hedges. Yeah, no impact on anyone. You're right. But you've profaned the Sabbath and you should be put to death. And my mind doesn't compute except to say that this is important to God. This is important. "For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout the generation as a perpetual covenant." It was a covenant between God and his people. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days," just don't forget, guys, he says it again, "for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth," and guess what? Yeah, don't forget, on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. They weren't killing anyone or stealing anything, but simply blowing off the call to keep a Sabbath would result in their lives being taken. It was important to God. is important. Now, while we're no longer in the dispensation of the law, but we're in the dispensation of grace, the principle of the Sabbath still remains. It's still as important to God for our lives. The principle of the Sabbath should be evident in our lives. We need to find a resting place. Jesus said it in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So what does rest look like? Is it a vacation? We got back a weekish ago from, we had to do a really hard job. If you're wondering where we're at, someone in the family just had to do it. My parents were out of town, and their house needed sitting. So we suffered, and it took a lot of convincing. We made the sacrifice. Oh, where? Yeah, it was Florida. Minor detail. Yeah, it was rough. Lord, we just survived. No, we simply rested. I mean, my kids were so spoiled. They literally watched Paw Patrol, which if you don't know Paw Patrol, just it's a cool show. Check it out. They watched it for like, it was on from like 7 a.m. to like 2 p.m. every single weekday. And it literally, it was probably 2 hours a day. As soon as they got up, we're like, all right, you know, going to Lanai. We're loving this. This is what having a TV is like. Yeah, we didn't care. Every single day. Yep. 2 hour babysitter in the morning. This is amazing. Living the dream. We just ref Fiona. Sorry. It wasn't that bad. Well, it kind of was, actually. But now, I mean, we're suffering because getting them back to media only on the weekends has been very, very difficult. Can I watch something? No. They got spoiled. They were blessed. I mean, not spoiled. They were blessed. They were blessed. But it was a vacation. Does rest look like a vacation? Fiona and I went to, I took her, surprised her, took her to Disney World for our 10th anniversary, pre-kids. It was amazing. No kids. And we just had the time of our lives. You know, it's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. But can I tell you, it was kind of fun in a way. To watch just how, it wasn't fun to watch, I shouldn't say. I was surprised to see how miserable people were at the happiest place in the world. And Sarah goes every year, so she knows what I'm talking about. I don't know if it's because, hey, you've got littles with you, but we paid so much money, we are still going to do every single thing. You're not going to get naps. You're not going to be fed. It's going to be hot. We're not going to provide for your needs. But, you know, take it, kids, because we're at Disney World. And and get into a Disney princess outfit, which is like polyester, and you're probably smoking in there, you know, and cooking slowly. And like, these people were miserable. Kids were mad. Parents were mad. If you are like, we got no kids, no kids. Pre-kids. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing. We had such a good time, but yeah, it wasn't such the most wonderful, happiest place in the world. What do we oftentimes say when we get back to the office after vacation? I need a vacation from my vacation. Because we try so hard to do such cool things. Now, Florida, we just chilled. It was the most, it was awesome. We just hung out. But that's typically not what vacation is. So does rest look like a vacation? Does rest look like just vegging out in front of the TV or tablet or video game or some sort of screen? Is that what rest looks like? I collect Lego and I enjoy building the sets because it's relaxing for me. Is that what rest looks like? I think so. And I encourage everybody, and if you don't, just buy me some Lego. I'll do it for you. What about golf or sewing? Or reading a good book, or tinkering on a car. would stress me out. Or hunting, fishing. Huh. Is that what rest looked like? Getting some amens. Well, there are many forms of relaxations or ways to rest, but words are important. I did not title this message A Resting Place to encourage a well-balanced, well-rested life. You need to take some time for yourself. That's not the point of this message. I titled it The Resting Place. Because the concept of a Sabbath is not simply cease from working or from putting forth effort into life. The concept of the Sabbath is to take out time out to get into the resting place. God did not make the Sabbath holy under penalty of death if it was broken so we could take a break and play with Lego or tinker with cars or read a book. You know, as long as you don't go get in the yard. Play with Lego, yeah, that's cool. No, God knew that his people needed purposeful time for connection with him. That's why it was a perpetual covenant to them, between them. That's why it was so important and vital that he stressed it so much. Church, we need to unplug from all the things of the world and plug into God. God is the resting place, and it's in him that we find rest. Psalm 94, 11 through 13 says, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity." Who finds rest? The one who the Lord instructs. King James says, chastens. In verse 12, this says instructs. But who finds rest? The one who the Lord instructs or chastens. To be taught, we have to be in the presence of the teacher. Isaiah 28, 9 through 12 says, "Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.'" Who finds rest? The one who is full of the Spirit. To be full of the Spirit of God, we must be in his presence. I love the promise found in Isaiah 32. This is verse 17 and 18. "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Who finds rest? Those who are righteous or living right. To live right, we must be connecting with God. Psalm 92 is labeled a song for the Sabbath day. Can you go to verse 1 of Psalm 92? Okay, yeah, it doesn't say it there, but in your Bibles, in my Bible it said, "A song for the Sabbath day." That's what this was written for. So keep that in mind and listen to these words or read along. I'll just read from the screen so we got the same version. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou all exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Two more scriptures. Thou shalt still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's summarize this chapter. God's my everything and the source of everything. If I just connect with him, he will carry me through life. When there's enemies, when there's craziness, he is the resting place. It's a song for the Sabbath day, to sing on the Sabbath day. If someone wants to put that to lyrics, that'd be awesome. I'm not going to try. So in the resting place, we are recalibrating our thoughts and our hearts toward God. We're reminding ourselves that he is everything and we can depend on him and should look to him and go to him and be with him. I want us to be encouraged tonight. Someday, if we stay faithful to the Lord, we're going to enter his rest. That should fill us with hope. Amen. But I want us also to be encouraged that we can rest in God here on earth. When we make purposeful, meaningful connection with him, we will find rest. I'm going to read Matthew 11, 28 through 30 again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's interesting. I just saw this. It doesn't say, hey, just get with me. I'm going to take everything. And no, it says, learn from me. Like there's things in the presence of God that we learn and grow. Amen. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. If you would stand with me. James 1:22 says this. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This type of message requires us to figure out how to apply it in our lives. And so tonight as we gather up front for prayer, I want you to ask the Lord, how does this look for me and my family? We should go to the resting place every day. So if you don't have that time of day mapped out, what time of day is that going to be? What purposeful time is that going to be for your life? When are you going to get into the Word of God that helps sharper than any two-edged sword that divides to and clarifies our motives and identifies our thoughts and intents of our hearts? When are we going to get in the Word of God? And if you don't have a set time, that's the challenge. That is the doing of the Word tonight, is to identify when I'm going to do that. If you never make a plan, it will never happen. Oh, yes, I got to do this. I'm going to do. No. When is the time? And then share it with someone and say, ask me if I did it tomorrow night. And hold yourself accountable. I've got folks in my life is like, when are you going to do that? Be quiet. Not talking about this, but other areas of my life. And I've got friends. It's just like, okay, well, did you do that? Would you stop asking? Like, well, you're not going to do it unless you'd like, I know. We should go to the resting place every day. We should go to the resting place on a weekly basis. What does that look like? We should go to the resting place on a monthly and yearly basis. What does that look like? Oh, I can't wait for vacation. Yeah, but so often we come back from vacation exhausted. And it's not what we're talking about. Well, I just need to unplug and just, you know, thank the Lord the kids are in bed. I've been there. And I'm just going to veg out. You know what I need to do that at that time is get plugged in the Word to really get rest, to really just refresh. And, you know, maybe it's morning, maybe it's evening, maybe it's at work at lunchtime, that's the only time. And so you sacrifice lunch for a while or eat as you walk or find a bench out in the, you know, the courtyard of your place of employment or whatever. What does it look like? I can't tell you how many times I've heard folks say, as soon as we get past this project or this date or this event, then we'll slow down or focus on this or that. Church, we have to be intentional. Because as soon as that project's done, guess what? Another project's looming. So it will never happen unless we say, okay, I'm going to block this time out. We have to be intentional with it. Amen. If we aren't finding peace in our lives, it's because we're not going to the resting place. If we aren't finding joy in our lives, it's because we're not going to the resting place. If we aren't finding contentment in our lives, it's because we're not going to the resting place. If we aren't finding rest in our lives, it's because we're not going to the resting place. There is rest for you and rest for me. One day, the dove from Noah's Ark ventured out and found a resting place and never came back. And just the same one day, we'll rest eternally with Jesus. But until then, like Noah put out his hand and drew the dove into the ark to rest, let's allow God to draw us in. Let's get to the resting place, which is Jesus. Amen. As we begin to sing tonight, I just want you to find a place to pray. You can gather up front here, kneel at your pew. But let's ask the Lord. Again, this is not a, I need to do this, I need it. No, more so set a plan. Talk to the Lord. Talk shop. Let's talk some shop with God. What does this look like, God? What are the time frames on a daily basis? How does that look like on a weekly basis? And then a bigger span, a two-day span on a monthly basis. Maybe it's a week span in a yearly basis. Whatever it may be, God wants to connect with you and give you rest. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord tonight. Everything we need. Jesus, Jesus.
Everything I want, everything I hope in, everything my heart cries out for. Everything I want, everything I hope in, everything my heart cries out for.
God good. Thank you, Pastor Phil, for a very timely message. Rest. Rest. My father was a very strong proponent of Sunday afternoon naps. I used to hate Sunday afternoon naps until I got a little older. Right, Brother Carey? It's a God thing. Oh, God bless you. Remember our prayer meeting on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. Be back here in corporate prayer. God bless you all. Have a very blessed rest of your week. And we will see you on Friday evening. And thank you once again, Pastor Phil, for a very great, powerful word tonight. God bless you.